Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here with Stu Powell. How are you, Stu?
Good, thanks. Great.
Excellent. Good to have you back. We're going to be talking a wee bit about different ways of protecting against frost. Obviously, frost is quite a worry for a lot of vineyard guys. What happens to the grapes when they get a frost?
There are a couple of things. I should make it clear for us, I'm not a viticulturist or a plant physiologist, so my level of expertise is limited. But essentially, there's cellular damage to the leaf surface and the vine. As the plant freezes, I think the cells expand and cause all sorts of...
I think the technical term's mushy, isn't it?
And also, too, if water droplets freeze on the plant or leaf surface, they actually desiccate the plant. Water is drawn out of the leaf or out of the plant.
Oh, okay.
And so there are problems there as well. So if you can actually keep a leaf or a vine surface dry or drier during a frost or just prior to a frost, damage will be less.
Okay. There always seems to be, like, you have a nice clear night and you come out the next day and it's the grass is wet and frosty, even though it hasn't rained or anything like that. What's causing that?
It's just moisture.
Just moisture in the air. Just
because the grass will always be a little bit colder than the air temperature, and so moisture will condensate on the grass first.
Yeah. It's a bit like you got a window,
yeah,
in a warm house, and then
the
window's cold, so all the moisture in the air from the house
settles out on the glass.
Okay, and then it's cold, so it freezes.
Exactly.
Let's talk a wee bit about the different types of frost protection. Frost normally occurs though 2 times of the year.
Yes.
Normally it's spring.
And then we can have problems again prior to harvest, again in April. In fact, and sometimes even in March, as we did last night. We're in mid-March and we had a light frost last night.
People often talk about a thing called an inversion layer as a way of protecting. What is an inversion layer?
An inversion layer is a warmer layer of air that sits above the ground at night. It's formed through a difference in rate of cooling between the ground and the air higher above the ground. So the ground temperatures will cool very much more quickly than at a height of, say, 15 or 20 metres.
The ground's radiating heating up.
Exactly. That's right. And so this temperature differential develops between a height of, say, 1 metre and a height of 20 metres.
Mm-hmm.
And so essentially that's your inversion. And then the idea is to try and pull that warmer air down that sits above the ground and mix it through your crop.
And do you always get an inversion layer?
No, you don't. It's one of those things that it's governed by topography. And so it's quite site specific. But I would say most places do. In fact, all places do for at least some of the night, but in a number of cases, the inversion can be literally wiped out because other topographical influences and winds will come in and stir the air up.
Speaking of stirring the air up, that's what you're trying to do often with frost protection, isn't it?
That's right.
How do you stir the air up?
Two ways. Firstly, wind machines, and you would have seen plenty of those in your travels around Marlborough in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Wind machines have a hub height of about 10.5 metres, and the blades are normally a couple of metres either side of that again.
That's quite a bit above the inversion layer, isn't it?
In
the middle.
It's somewhere in the middle, yeah. And the blades are angled at about 6 degrees down toward the surface, and so once they start spinning around, which they do at a rate of around 1,800 revs per minute, which is pretty fast,
yeah,
they're able to draw air down from about 20 metres above the ground and then mix that through the crop. And they'll protect about 10 acres, or if you're in hectares, it's about 4 hectares.
So I've seen those in the middle of the crop, and I presume if they're pushing it down, you're better off having it at one end of your vineyard, aren't you?
Good point. But the machines actually spin around. The head of the machine actually moves right around in a 360-degree circle. In essence, they protect an egg shape pattern, or we call it a warming footprint, around the bottom of the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that egg shape, or that elliptical shape, is determined by the strength of the drift winds that blow across the block at night.
Do you need these frost protections if it's quite windy?
No, they won't work particularly well if it's windy. You'll run into all sorts of strife with the blades and the mechanics of the machine, I would imagine. Wind machines and helicopters work best when wind speeds are very light and under radiative type frost conditions, where wind speeds are less, certainly less than about 8 kilometres per hour.
You mentioned helicopters. That's the other way of
That's right.
Frost protection. What's going on there? They just...
They fly, hover above the ground at night, above a vineyard or an orchard, at a height of sort of 15 or 18 metres above the ground. The idea is to fly in a pattern. The helicopter will create sort of like a bow wave effect as it moves over the vineyard, blasting warmer air down onto the crop. So you'll see rises of temperature of sort of 2 or 3 degrees, sometimes a little more as the helicopter flies over. Temperatures are fall back to their original temperature fairly quickly after the helicopter moves on. So you've got to keep returning back to that same same point at least every 5 minutes.
Okay, so how much of an area can a chopper cover safely?
That depends on the size and of the helicopter and the thrust from the blades and so forth, but it ranges, and of course the temperature as well is a big determinant. So the colder it gets, the less area you'll cover. For example, a helicopter might protect initially an area of, say 20 hectares at minus 1 degrees. If it drops to minus 2 degrees, he'll only protect about half that much.
Because he's got to keep going over and over and over.
That's right. And the colder it is, the smaller area he has to keep working over to achieve the same benefit.
Is it good business being a chopper pilot in the frost season?
If you get number of frost, I imagine it's pretty good.
Do they get paid like an insurance scheme where they get a retainer and then they get a...
Some do, yeah, some do. So you, in some cases, you will pay a helicopter firm a set amount for the season, and that guarantees you first right of refusal, if you like, on that helicopter for the next couple of months.
Mm. Okay, and then you just pay for your fuel and whatever.
And then you just pay for them as you need them or as you use them from that point on.
Okay, and is there a lot of choppers in Marlborough doing that?
They fly in from all over the country, actually. If we have a major frost event here, we've had 100 helicopters come in for any given night. It's like World War III sometimes, you know.
Vietnam.
they make quite a racket.
I read in the paper that a person was prosecuted for throwing a stone at a helicopter.
Yes.
It wasn't a frost helicopter, it was a search and rescue at the time.
That's right.
It sort of raised the issue that maybe some people aren't so happy about these helicopters.
Quite a number of people that are unhappy about noise of wind machines as well around the district, because they make quite a noise too. And at night, the noise is actually trapped within the inversion layer, and so you actually hear it for quite considerable distances downwind.
Oh yeah, because it'll bounce off the change in temperature.
Exactly. So noise is becoming a quite a problem for this area. But fortunately, you know, there really are only a handful of days each season where we have frost where it'd be more than an hour or two long.
Yeah. One of my listeners, who I went and had a glass of wine with a couple of days ago, he works for a company and they're getting dragged into court to give consultation on these noise issues and all that sort of stuff. I was talking to another person last night, I won't name names now, but they were talking about there's a lady with a lifestyle block who ends up getting taken into town and put up in a hotel because she complains a lot about the noise.
Yes, I know two or three cases like that in Marlborough. Mm,
really?
That's right.
That's a bit tough, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It is a rural area, after all. I suppose that's the joy of having lifestylers in a rural area.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I guess the other end is people have a right to protect their crops, you know, and lifestylers have a right to some peace and quiet.
Wind generation, that's a key way. You hear in France a lot of people using oil burners. What's the idea behind that?
We use diesel burners here in New Zealand quite a bit. They principally not very good. They produce some radiant heat, but really they only protect an area probably no greater than sort of 5 or 6 metres from the actual burner is generated by burning diesel up a return stack. And the stack or the chimney gets quite hot, and so the heat radiates out and protects the vines. But it, as I say, it doesn't go very far. Most of the heat is lost through the chimney very rapidly. It's very buoyant, and so it just goes straight up and it's lost. But there are various theories that if you put a number of these heaters out around wind machines, for example, or under helicopters, that you can mix some of this warmer air through the vineyard and have some positive benefits that way.
Do you believe that?
Well, I've tested a number of different configurations over the years, and you know, in some cases, yeah, you pick up quite a good effect from that, but in other cases I've found none at all. And I think it boils down really at the end of the day to how much inversion you're working with, and so it becomes quite a site specific thing.
In the UK, I interviewed someone, they used almost like a huge fan heater on the back of a truck and they just basically blew it down the vineyards. Is that something that you'd heard about or you'd think would work?
Well, I've seen similar contraptions here, not so much in the wine industry, but in some orchards where they're trying to dry surfaces of leaves and of plants because you don't want the moisture hanging around for too long on the fruit. I have some theories. By and large, if you can keep air moving during a frost event, then you're doing good. So perhaps there is some room for that sort of frost protection.
Okay, but you haven't done too much.
But I haven't looked at it too closely here, no.
You talked about a lot of the heat being lost up the flue.
Yes.
Why don't they just run the flue sideways down the vineyard or something like that? We used to have a potbelly heater and the flue got really hot. The flue that warmed the house more than anything
yes,
else.
Yes, that's right.
Especially in a two-story place. So why don't they just put flues along and then shovel the heat?
I guess it's just logistics. The vineyards, some of the vineyards are very, very large and have row lengths of up to 2 kilometres long. So it's just the logistics involved of aligning flues or pumping water or hot water or, you know, there's heated wires. There's all sorts of number of things that have been tried over the years with varying degrees of success. But by and large, it boils down to logistics and the size of the sheer size of some of the vineyards.
You mentioned earlier about keeping the leaves dry and that helps reduce frost damage. But also some people spray lots of water on the leaves. Yes. It's almost the opposite. So
that's right.
What's the mechanism there?
You can apply water during a frost. You have, of course, the latent heat of freezing. As ice forms on a plant, it releases heat. And secondly, once an icicle starts forming over a plant, provided you keep applying water at a given rate, and you have to apply more water as the temperature drops. Generally, rule of thumb is every degree below zero, you have to apply 1 millimetre per hour of water to that particular plant, to the surface of the plant. And of course, so as long as you're applying water at sufficient rate, the icicle will grow and insulate the leaf or the fruit on inside the icicle.
And if it stops growing, it hasn't got that warming effect?
Yeah, if you don't apply enough water, then the icicle will start to cool and go below zero, because if it's -3 on the outside and the icicle should be zero on the inside, if you stop applying water at a sufficient rate, the icicle will start to cool. And it won't grow, and you'll start getting, well, it will grow, but it won't grow as it should.
And when do you stop applying the water? What temperature can you safely stop applying it and let the whole lot thaw out?
Well, above zero, but normally above about +1 when the sun is shining on the crop, canopy.
So even if you've got a big inch-thick bit of water around your grape cluster, as soon as the sun starts shining, it'll be fine. Okay. Because I imagine as the ice melts, it actually sucks in heat, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it could potentially make the berry even colder, even though it's...
Yeah, there is, and that's the problem with starting water protection, is often if you're not very careful, you can be too late. Because as you start applying water to a leaf or any plant surface, there is a small amount of water that's evaporated straight away, and that's we'll call it an evaporative spike, or some of that. And so temperatures can momentarily drop below zero and cause cellular damage again to the leaf.
Okay, I suppose if you get any cellular damage, you've got a risk of splitting the berry, and then you're into all sorts of disease issues. Is there a better time of the year? I imagine spraying water on a vine just before a harvest is probably worse, because all this water in your vineyard, you don't really want it getting too wet. Whereas maybe early in the season, when you're trying to protect the flowers, the delicate flowers and the buds from freezing, it's not so bad. You know, a bit of water there isn't really a problem. Whereas lots of water on your vineyard just for harvest, grapes swell up and split.
Exactly. And you can really throw the sugar contents out, you know, and vines quite a bit, and it just delays the whole harvest process if you apply water, you know, in the autumn for an autumn frost event.
Is there a problem in spring putting too much water on?
There can be. Once again, more logistical problem in that if the ground is too wet, you can't get on to carry on regular vineyard activities like your spraying regimes and so forth. There are some vineyards now that are looking at a dual type frost protection with using water and wind machines, where they will use water in the spring and wind machines in the autumn to try and get around the logistical problems that using water all year round creates. There's more that can go wrong with water too, you know, if you're using water. I mean,
your pump breaks, you're buggered really.
And the nozzles sometimes can be finicky things to maintain. And of course, the start-up temperatures are quite critical. And over large blocks, there can be several degrees variation in temperature at night. And so when do you start the water? If you start it too early, you end up wasting a lot of water, you know, to protect a very small part of the vineyard.
Is there any other methods of frost protection?
We've covered the main ones: wind machines, helicopters, water. There are a lot of supplementary diesel return stack heaters that we mentioned there. They are certainly the main types.
I heard of a foam or a plastic that they apply to some vineyards.
There are lots of other techniques. There's fog being trialled around. There are hot wires. You know, everything has its time and its place, and it really depends greatly on the environment in which you're putting the frost protection into. And so in that respect, pay dividends to have things like inversion layers and wind drifts checked out before you start frost protecting a crop.
Okay. Do you have a website for your business?
Yes, I do.
What is it? We'll give you a plug.
Okay, www.climateconsulting.co.nz.
Excellent.
So that's all one word, climate consulting.
Fantastic, Stu. We'll wrap it up there. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.